It is well past midnight here in India, where I'm sitting in my hotel room in Vishakhapatnam, but coming your way live from India today. Stay tuned.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, it's me. I am here. Coming away live from India, from Vishakhapatnam, which is, towards the south of India on the east coast in the Bay of Bengal, my 18th trip here. And I thought it'd be appropriate to come your way live. That's right. It's 12:30 now, which means by the time we finish 2 hours of program, it'll be 2:30 in the morning. And then the pastor's conference starts tomorrow morning. But it is my joy to be with you. So same number as always. In fact, if you call today, get to be on one of these historic shows, because we do this very, very rarely. Obviously, I'm not in India a whole lot of times annually, but it's a short, very intensive trip. So if you get to call in during the program, you can be on one of the rare live from India programs here on The Line of Fire. So the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, as always, AskDrBrown.org. In fact, I posted a question that I'll come back to during the program on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. And the question is this. Do you think American Muslims want to take over our country? I've written an article on that should be online soon. Do you think American Muslims want to take over our country? If you'd like to weigh in on that, number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. Also, another question for you. And then I want to give you some updates on India and share a little bit about this trip with you. Dennis Prager just wrote an article. It's on townhall.com. What does adultery tell us about character? Where he basically says, look, you can be a fine leader, a fine national leader. Look at King David. You can be a fine national leader and commit adultery. That doesn't necessarily speak of the quality of your character or the quality of your leadership, and it's all adultery the same. And we don't really need to know about people's private sex lives. It's in a nutshell, his article, even though as a religious conservative, he's not condoning it. What do you think about that? Does adultery tell us something about character in terms of someone committing adultery? Does it tell you something about that person's character? 866-34-TRUTH. I have declined all overseas invitations this year, and cut way back on my schedule for several years in international travel because of radio, because of the priority of being on the air with you on a daily basis, because of the people that we're committed to speak to a couple hours a day. And it's possible for us to do a program with a phone connection like this from India, but we would do it the rarest of the rare just because we want to have studio quality wherever we are, and we're often in places where it's not even possible to have a quality phone connection, but I thought it would be special to broadcast live from India. Many of the stations that we're on now, this is the first time you've heard me doing this, and throughout the week, we've got some really important and special programming coming your way. I've ministered in India and done pastors' conferences together with another colleague where we spoke to 7,000 pastors a day, where we did a young people's meeting for teenagers up to, say, 30 and had about 10,000 people. And in the night rallies, between 40 and 50,000. Now, for some, that's a massive crowd. For others, international evangelists, that's a smaller crowd. But that's probably the largest crowd I've preached to here in India, 40 to 50,000. But I'm not here to preach to tens of thousands or maybe even thousands on this trip. I'm here because of a close relationship with a dear brother who has literally given his life for the gospel. And hundreds of pastors and workers and leaders who are giving their lives for the gospel. And I'm convinced, as much as I want to see things done in great quantity, as much as I have a heart to see many people ministered to and a great effect on many lives, I know that quality is more important than quantity. I want to share some principles with you today. We'll come back, take your calls live from India.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. I am coming your way literally live from India, from the city of Vishakhapatnam, my 18th trip here. And I wanted to be able to do that with you during this week, as well as provide some really special broadcasting for you. You know, when I come over to India, it's such a different world. It's changing in certain ways, but in other ways, it's just the same as it's been for years and years and probably centuries. It's such a different world. The lifestyle is so different. The mindset is so different. The risks that believers take for the gospel in many settings is so different than what we're used to in America. It's part of a reality check for me as well to come here and minister to these precious people and to remind myself of what matters most, of why we are here. And I want this week to be impacting for you. So we're coming away from India. We've got special programming. And I just put out a question. I've got a couple of questions on the table, but let me come back to one that I'll be discussing through the broadcast. Namely, do you think that Muslims in America want to take over our country? 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or you can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. I've been coming to India since 1993. This would be my 19th trip, except for a few years back, when we were unable to come because there were terrorist attacks that had taken place in Mumbai, tragic killings of Pakistani Muslims had come in, and just terrible attacks right in the heart of Mumbai, places where we'd normally be traveling. So we were unable to come in. The brothers said it's just not the safe time to travel into the city, and there were threats of terrorist attacks in the city I was going to. But we've been coming here 18 years, and the ministry we work with, it was founded by a man who was an untouchable. Many of you heard his testimony back in July when I had him and his wife Monica, Yesupadam and his wife Monica, on the air with me. He was an untouchable. He grew so hostile towards the system that as a boy, 11 years old, he became a radical communist called Naxalite and signed in blood to join them, became an alcoholic, atheist, violent man, and Jesus appeared to him when he was in his mid-20s, he got gloriously saved. And when we started the ministry with them, working together with them here in India, they had two small houses, and they had a bunch of children, boys in one, girls in another, sleeping on the floor, and they cared for them, orphans in a children's home, kids that whose parents weren't able to care for them. And over the years, we've watched them expand massively. They've planted, from the grads from their discipleship training schools, they've planted over 1,000 churches, and this is almost exclusively in unreached tribal regions. I'm talking about tribal regions with monkeys in the trees and lions in some of the forests, tribal regions. They've had an extraordinary impact. They have a highly regarded school in the community here, Christian school. Children's home has grown. They have several in different areas, old folks' home. They have special training for severely handicapped so that they can learn a trade. They've had a junior college, a nursing school, built one hospital and have plans to build another as funds come in. Totally faith-based ministry that the kids are up beginning at the age of 3 and a half, from 4:30 to 5:30 in the morning, praying and worshiping and in the Word. And the thing that's amazing is, yeah, they're regular people with regular needs, regular weaknesses, but when they get baptized here, the ministry we work with, and this is common in other parts of the world, this mentality, but when they get baptized here, they are asked, not just, do you profess Jesus as Lord, have you submitted your life to Him, but they are asked, are you willing to die for Jesus? Are you willing to serve Him to your last drop of breath? That's at baptism. That's just getting started. That's just the understanding that following Jesus is not just a party. Following Jesus is not just all the cool, neat, great things and putting the newest car you want on your refrigerator to confess and believe for it. They understand it means conflict. They understand it means hardship. They understand it means joy unspeakable and eternal salvation. But they understand they're in a Hindu country. They're going against the grain, even if there's not overt persecution. Sometimes there is, and it's deadly. We've been here as people have been martyred for their faith, and we've been in settings where there were attacks and things could have gotten out of hand any moment. But even when there's not overt persecution on that level, they can still be an oppressed minority, and many times when someone comes to faith, they lose everything. I remember on one of our early trips when we used to come between 3 weeks and a month, and Nancy was out with a team that was going to villages sharing the gospel, that they met one woman. She was the only Christian woman in her village, and she was so encouraged to meet other believers, and she said her husband beats her regularly because she's a Christian. But it's just so wonderful to follow Jesus. It's absolutely worth it. There's something that reminds you of what life is really about. But it's interesting that as more and more money comes into India, and India prospers in different ways, and a hard work ethic and a strong education ethic, that you see the disparity coming, the rich getting richer, and the poor either staying the same or getting poorer. I was just struck flying into some of the airports here, how radically things have changed. And, you know, the route was leave Charlotte, fly into Atlanta, a couple-hour layover there, then from Atlanta fly into Amsterdam, couple-hour layover there. It's like 8-hour flight, couple hours there, another 8-hour flight into Mumbai. And then we had some medical supplies with us and an issue getting them through customs. And anyway, we ended up almost 3 hours at the airport, and then finally get to the hotel and fly off from the domestic airport next morning, which is this morning, although I'm past midnight here, so yesterday morning for me. And I was stunned from 1 year to the next how much the domestic airport has changed. And not only do they have things like Kentucky Fried Chicken and Domino's Pizza along with the curry and the other stuff, but I'm talking about expensive stores. And it was shocking to see how things have grown and changed. And I've watched it every year, having come since 1993. At the same time, you drive out. And you begin driving down the streets, and you see the same poverty, and you see the same hardship and difficulty. And if you get further out of the big city, you can see it even more. One other thing that struck me is very interesting. We had a special celebration tonight with the ministry team here, that there were three different birthdays in the families within a couple of days. So we had a big birthday dinner tonight. And I was talking to Yesupanam and Monica's daughter, Bethany, who just turned 13, and she's lived in the States for some months as they've traveled. She's lived in Germany for months and ends. They've done missions work there and, of course, grown up in India. And she asked me if my daughter's weddings, if our daughter's weddings were arranged. And I said, no, she goes, they just like went out and did whatever they wanted. She was shocked. I said, well, I had to give approval. I met with the husband, you know, with the men, and I had to give approval. And especially our younger daughter, Megan, was still at home. I said I had to say how many times a week she could see Ryan. And so I met with Ryan, and everything was under scrutiny. And, of course, Nancy and I had approved. But she was just so surprised that they just did what they wanted and married. So it's interesting. But as I see the Western impact on the culture more and more, as I see the American impact on the culture more and more, it is primarily not for the good. It is primarily not for the good. It is primarily bringing in more materialism, more greed, more worldliness, more superficiality. And all the more does the gospel need to spread, but not the American version. Thank God for American missionaries that are laying their lives down as well for the gospel. Not the American version of the gospel. We need the biblical version of the gospel for the people of India. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a bunch of other things I want to share with you, but let me say this again, then I want to go to the phones. Coming to India, I'm reminded that quality is more important than quantity, that if we will put our emphasis on quality relationship with God and on quality relationship with people, and on reproducing quality fruit in the lives of others, we will have much more to shout about on the day we stand before God. I mean, shouts of joy than if we put our emphasis on quantity. Okay, a question I've put out for you. Do you think that American Muslims are trying to take over the country? Let me go to the phones. Grace in Bethesda, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Brown. How are you doing?
I'm good. Little bit jet lagged, and it's, you know, the middle of the night here, but I'm doing well. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm so happy for this program and opportunity to speak with you all the way there in India. And I'm here in Bethesda, Maryland. I met you back in the summer, I believe, in Gaithersburg, Kingdom Life Center. You spoke there?
Oh, okay, wonderful. Hey, just a reminder, Andrew, Maryland is M.D., not M.A. There you go.
Because I said, oh, right, God, I've been translated to Massachusetts.
Yes, yeah, I was wondering Bethesda, Massachusetts. I'd never heard of it. Bethesda, Maryland, I know. Hey, Grace, tell you what, hang on the line. We got a break coming up, but I want to hear from you in a moment. Yeah, Andrew, even here in India, I got my eye out for you, buddy. No typos allowed even from India. All right. I'll tell you what got me thinking about this question. Are Muslims, American Muslims, trying to take over? And then I want to keep sharing with you perspectives from India when we come back right here on the Line of Fire.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, maybe we can have the intro just changed for this week. Send it out to the voice guy with that amazing voice and said, coming away live from India. All right. Glad to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Over Thanksgiving, or right before Thanksgiving, I read an article by Pamela Geller that was on AmericanThinker.com, and she was talking about the question that butterball turkeys were now slaughtered in conformity with Islamic law so that they would be acceptable for Muslims to eat, and it raises a lot of questions. That presumably that would mean slaughtered in Allah's name if it's according to strict Islamic law. In any case, it just got me thinking more and more about Muslim population in America. Do Muslims, American Muslims, want to take over our society? Is it any different than Christians who want to spread the gospel around the world? If we want to spread the gospel to Muslim countries, we certainly want to see Saudi Arabia turn to Jesus. We want to see Iran turn to Jesus. So what's different between that and, say, American Muslims living in our country? So it got me thinking about this. I wrote an article that should be online in the next day or so. But I thought we would talk about that as I share some other thoughts and insights from India as we go. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, back to you, Grace, in Bethesda, Maryland. What's your
yes.
take on this about
glad to
American
be
Muslims?
With you today. And my comment really, as far as the Muslim population goes, absolutely they would like to see America transform and become all Islamic. I mean, they have made that pretty evident as far as them wanting to put that mosque there at Ground Zero. But, you know, Sharia law is creeping in steadily, and just a lot of the influences. In our school systems in California, they actually are teaching the Quran and different agendas concerning the Islamic faith, whereas they, you know, have thrown out the Bible, but they have brought in the Quran in California. So, yes, they are striving, and they're making leaps and bounds, for real.
Got it. Hey, Grace, thank you for weighing in clearly. I appreciate it. One quick question. When you say Sharia law is making progress in America, of course I read reports as well. I was just with Jay Sekulow, and he's got a major thrust of his ministry to stop Sharia law in America. But what makes you say that it's spreading in certain parts of America?
Because there have been it's going to be in the Midwest, where somewhere I believe around Chicago, they had tried to get a law passed, and everything is kept very quietly, but they've tried to, you know, influence our judicial system to have it where Muslims would have to come before the judge or have that law presented to them, because it's a whole different world from ours. But that's what they're trying to do, and it's all kept so quiet. But I get emails from time to time, and I tell you, I bet you could go to every state and find somewhere in there where some Islamic people have tried to exert that type of law, because it's being done. And they're not calling it straight out Sharia, but they're putting in place the politics of that law. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Hey, Grace, thanks for weighing in, and it was a joy to meet you earlier in the year. Thanks for being our first caller on our first Live from India show in 1 year, actually. Nina in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Nina, are you there?
Oh, hi. Yes, absolutely, they want to take like the United States and Europe and every place. And as you can see what happened in Europe, it's happening here. Unfortunately, the American people are not paying attention to their way of getting an indirect way in our society, our government, and trying to take over. And I heard it from several people, Muslim, that they said, we are going to take America. You'll see that we will be the majority here. They multiply by 20% every year, and we multiply by 2%. So you can do the math yourself. They're doing that in Europe now, and they are doing it here. And I know so many.
It's very interesting, Nina. In England, as of 2010, the number one boy's name in England is Muhammad. This is England. It passed Jack in 2010. If you go to cosmopolitan European cities like Oslo in Norway or Amsterdam in Holland, the number one boy's name in those cities is also Muhammad, and it's just because they were proportionately name their children, their boys, Muhammad, more than, say, European or American would name their boys a particular name, and then the birth rate, the growth rate. As for the taking over thing, I want to try to explain that, but thank you for the call. And before I get to some more calls, it's just important to understand that Islam is also a proselytizing religion, as is Christianity. And you have nominal Muslims in America that are not particularly concerned with taking over or spreading Islam, just like you have nominal Christians. But religious Muslims want to spread their faith. They want to bring the whole world into submission to Allah. Islam does not mean peace. It means submission. And it is not just a religious faith, though. It is a law-based faith. In other words, it is understood that submission to Allah means submission to Allah and to his laws. Therefore, in a unique way, when Islam converts, it also conquers. When Islam takes ascendancy, it also conquers. So we'll talk about that, what it means to us here in America. I just want to talk to you from my heart. I'm all the way here in India. It's a long trip. It's probably about 38 hours of travel from when I left my house till we got to the hotel here in Vishakhapatnam. We'll be doing 3 days of leaders' meetings, pastors' conferences in the day, and then meetings for believers as well as leaders in the evening, and we'll culminate with the graduation of the students from the Discipleship Training Center, who will then go and plant churches in more unreached regions. And that's how they've planted over 1,000 churches in these places in far-flung areas where we couldn't even survive for a week without our health breaking down. They're out there going for it. But I just want to make an appeal to you. We are going for it here. As you know, I'm not on the radio just to entertain. Here it's the middle of the night. It's past midnight. We're coming your way because this is important. This is my life. This is my heart. I want to ask you if you know a lot of folks who are doing what we're doing, out touching the nations, on the front lines of Jewish evangelism and reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel, equipping the body, standing for revival, facing down moral issues, raising up apologists. We're going for it by God's grace. And if you could stand with us, it would make a world of difference. You know, I just, out of curiosity, did math on something. I took a conservative number of our listeners across the nation, and I took 1 out of 100 of those people, and I thought if 1 out of 100 became monthly torchbearers, supported us with at least $25 or more a month, that we would not only pay every radio bill and ministry bill, but we'd be able to expand to more stations and touch more people. Would you join us? 1-800-278-9978. Would you be one of those 100 who stands up? 1-800-278-9978. We'll send you a free signed book as a gift of appreciation. Your donation of any size will do that. But stand with us today. Together, we're making a difference. 1-800-278-9978. Let me say again, quality more important than quantity.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Coming your way live from India, and found out that my article, just during the break now, that my article on are Muslims trying to take over America, or do they want to take over America, it's now up on townhall.com. So take a read there. I'm going to share a couple of quotes with you from Ayatollah Khomeini, who spearheaded the Islamic Revolution that toppled the Shah of Iran in the late 1970s and from there spread around the world. I want to share some quotes from him with you as well. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, you can join the discussion on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Let me give you one other reflection from India, and then we'll get back to your calls as we're asking the question, do American Muslims want to take over America? It's a striking thing when you come to India, the first trips in particular, when you see the Hindu temples and the open idolatry, when you see statues like Monkey God or something like that, you know, 20, 30 feet tall, or a Hindu temple with all these faces of gods and goddesses, so-called gods and goddesses engraved on it, or you'll see the Hindu holy men, these emaciated guys with these wild beards and the just paint on their foreheads, part of their Hindu devotion. Some of them just pledge to never have a home, and they just live on the streets. And you're overwhelmed with this, and of course you want the people to know Jesus. You want the people to know the truth. You want the people to hear the gospel and know the truth. But you're so grieved over the idolatry, and of course it's wrong, and of course God addresses it and calls for people to repent. But the thing that's very interesting is it's a sign of a spiritual searching. In other words, the great majority of Indians are very religious people. They are spiritually minded people, and they are looking for a God to worship. And when you play into that, as opposed to coming over to attack the idolatry, and I have had trips and messages where I have confronted the society on the worship of idols as opposed to worshiping the one true God, and it's some pretty wild stuff that we've seen. But for the most part, you play into the fact that these people are seeking, but they're seeking ignorantly, as Paul spoke in Acts 17, and God now calls all men everywhere to repent. But the sights, the sounds, the smells, the customs, the difference in music, culture, it's radical. And the goal is not to make these Indians into American Christians. In fact, Christianity is often rejected because it's perceived as a Western religion. It's perceived as a Western religion, as a white man's religion, and is often rejected. And then it's often found more of a home among the poor. So the wealthy also reject it as a poor man's religion. Thankfully, the gospel is spreading. In some areas, in the midst of real persecution at times, the gospel is spreading. And there have been some recent surprises in statistics to find out that some of the areas the gospel has spread quite dramatically. Oh, it's still a tiny percentage of the nation that's saved proportionately. And according to tradition, the gospel has been here since the days of the Apostle Thomas. So the gospel's been in India for a long time. There are many strongholds to be broken. This is also the birthplace of Buddhism as well. And yet, we are very confident that Jesus, the Lord of the world, the Lord of India, will get himself a massive harvest here. And there are many fine ministries. We've had the privilege and joy of working with one these many years. By the way, if you have a question relating to India or what's happening here, or even Hinduism, I've never become an expert on Hinduism, but if you have some questions, I may take some calls along those lines as well. Okay, back with your calls. We'll discuss, are Muslims trying to take over America? When we come back, right here.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do American Muslims want to take over our country? 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, joyfully coming away live from India. Yeah, here we are in the city of Vishakhapatnam, my 18th trip over here. Tomorrow morning, well, actually a few hours from now, we'll be starting our pastor's conference. It's, what time is it here? I'm already getting confused. It's 1:07 in the morning here in Vishakhapatnam. My joy to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, go to townhall.com. You can read my article, Do American Muslims Want to Take Over Our Country? So let's look at it another way. Do Muslims living in our land want to see an Islamic America with prominent mosques dotting the landscape of every major city, with Islamic laws instituted throughout the nation, with the name of Muhammad revered throughout society, with the Quran memorized by children, with American men stopping five times daily to pray to Allah, with American women dressing modestly, with Islamic dietary practices strictly followed, and the whole nation fasting during the daylight hours of Ramadan? What do you think? Think American Muslims want to see that happen? And if so, why should that surprise us? Why is that different than Christians in different parts of the world wanting to see that nation turn to Jesus and embrace the truths of the Bible and live by biblical principles? Is there a difference? Or does Islam have a different way of taking over? Or are we thinking wrongly about Muslims? 866-34-TRUTH. Robert in Boston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Brown? My name is Robert. I'm actually a member of a Baptist church, but I think this question on how Muslims taking over United States is baseless. It's based on absolutely no facts. Muslims do not control any types of organizations in the United States where they would have a serious hand in any form of politics here in the United States. Where, if these allegations are coming, where are the numbers to back it?
Okay, well, first I missed something in your point. My question is, do they want to?
Every religion in nature is going to want to go out and convert.
Well, no.
But that doesn't mean that they have
Muslims
want to, and
Christians want to. Jews don't want to.
If you look at the Jewish Bible in itself, it tells them that their Savior comes and dominates over the world, not the afterworld like Christianity. So the Jules Principle Bible teaches them to go out for world domination as part of their agenda.
No, Robert, that's nonsense. That's complete nonsense. I mean, I want to take your call seriously, but what you just said is complete nonsense. Jews are not trying to take over the world. That's nonsense.
Dr. Brown, in respect to your opinions, your radio station is actually the name. When you stop speaking, it says the Friends of Israel. So your radio station is actually... It has a hen. I mean, I understand you can't.
Robert, hang on. I thought this was a serious call, but apparently it's not. The fact that I'm on all over the America. So you're talking about WECE in Boston. The fact that there's a Christian ministry that tries to reach the Jewish people for the gospel that advertises on this radio station, that proves that Jews are trying to take over the world.
No, I'm not saying that, but you will not even let me elaborate on my point at all. You just shut that down. No, they're not.
Well, Robert, okay, because it's nonsense. I'm a Jew. I've studied Judaism. I interact with rabbis constantly. I know the literature inside out. Jews are not trying to dominate the world. That's a myth. Okay, unless you say that aliens are coming after that to take over the world,
the Hebrew religion. Because Hebrew religion can be studied by different races. It doesn't necessarily have to be Jews. Hebrews can be studied
by Africans.
What's
the Hebrew religion? There's no such thing as the Hebrew religion.
According to the Bible that the Hebrews practice, the Gentiles are not treated as equal as the person who are following Hebrew.
Robert. Oh, okay, listen. Tell you what. The discussion is not about Judaism anyway. But Jews are not trying to take over the world. They want the Messiah to come, and the Messiah will rule and reign over the world. But Jews are not trying to proselytize to take over the world. That's number one. Number two, yes, of course Muslims want to see these things happening. And number three, where they can exert power. Here, tell you what, go to jihadwatch.org. Just one website. Go to jihadwatch, jihadwatch.org, J-I-H-A-D, watch, jihadwatch.org, and find out about Islam in America. All right? Fair enough? Thank you. Appreciate the call, Robert. Hey, even at 1 in the morning, whatever time it is here in India, my mind is still working clearly. All right, Pat in Buna, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi, my name is Pat, and I just wanted to comment on your statement, you know, how is it different for Christians to want to spread their religion different than the Muslims? I think it's because the gospel is good news because it's freedom from the law. So the main difference is freedom. We're free to love and worship God. We have the love of God in our hearts. We are not required by any law to do it except the law of freedom and love. That's Jesus' message. It's a good news.
So in other words, when we go and preach the gospel and people come to faith, we want them to follow Jesus. We want them to live ethically. We want them to live morally. But we don't have a specific set of rules, regulations that they have to come under, as Islam would. For example, we're not saying you have to pray five times a day to the men. We're not saying you have to follow a certain dietary law or custom. We don't have, aside from certain moral principles we live by, we're not trying to enforce a Christian law on the nation, whereas there is Islamic law. So, yeah, there are definitely differences in the approach, Pat, and I do appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, if you're just tuning in, if my voice sounds slightly different, it's because I'm coming away live from India by telephone. We were able to arrange with a phone card service, whatever it is, in our studio. Our folks looked into it. They were able to call me in India for a very inexpensive, unless we made a mistake, guys, and this is going to be like a $9 billion show. But I think we got it worked out for just, what, like a penny and change per minute. So we can come away a couple of hours here live from India without running up our bill too much, and I wanted to be able to do that. By the way, tomorrow is one of the most important broadcasts you'll ever hear. I'm going to be sharing lessons from the Treblinka concentration camp during the Holocaust. I mean, real, real impacting show. And Thursday, I'm going to take you back 1 year to a service here in India, washing the feet of a martyr's widow, and then be taking calls again on Friday. So please be tuning in each day this week. I think you're going to find it very impacting. Remember, as soon as you get a break, go to townhall.com. Read my article, Do Muslims Want to Take Over Our Country? Back to the phones, Eric in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good. This is your guy from the anti-Semitism conversation we had last week from Raleigh. How are you? Good.
All right.
Listen, the first thing I want to say is the Eastern Muslim culture and the Western Muslim culture are two totally different Islamic ways of life, but they utilize the Western individuals here to move their propaganda. A lot of these young men and these young women who are a part of this Islamic culture here do not even understand that they are not really accepted into that way and lifestyle that the Eastern Muslims live. But again, they utilize them in their ignorance over here to facilitate their agenda.
Now, how would you say it's different? Would you say it's different between East and West, or just that we have a lot more nominal Muslims here in the West?
Say that again. I couldn't hear you, Mark.
Yeah. Do you think there's a difference between Muslims in the Eastern world and the Western world, or that the difference is primarily that in America we have a lot of nominal Muslims who are not as religious?
I believe that it's nominal. And saying that the way that they worship, the intensity level, the dedication to Sharia law, the morals and the principles are totally different.
Right. So in other words, your average Muslim in America, if you have a coworker or a neighbor that's a Muslim and you see that they don't keep, say, Muslim dietary laws, or during the month
right.
of Ramadan, they're not fasting during the daylight hours, or
right.
they're not regularly in the mosque. If you see that, well, no, those types of Muslims are not trying to take over. But the Muslims who are serious about their faith, they absolutely want to see it spread. And, you know, there's a controversy now in New York City with many, many of the cab drivers being from countries like Pakistan and other Muslim countries that they're stopping traffic because they're praying five times a day. And the Muslim leaders say, hey, that's okay. It's acceptable, and you're just going to have to accept that they're blocking traffic. You know, I mean, this is crazy. This is in New York City. This is happening. So the religious Muslims, absolutely, they want to spread their faith. And when they spread it, it does not simply mean proselytizing. It means conquest. I'm going to share some Khomeini quotes when we come back. Thanks, Eric.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, live from India. Here's how this is going, all right? From India, we are hooked into our studio in Winston-Salem. And from Winston-Salem by satellite to Dallas, and from Dallas across the nation, and then, of course, from someplace along the line there to our internet connection on oneplace.com, and from there around the world. And it's quite extraordinary with all these connections. We're talking to each other in real time. Isn't that $3 per minute to have this phone call, right? That's not the case, Andrew. You wish you're getting a slice of that, too. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. While I'm here in India, just talking about different faiths, different religions, and the question, do American Muslims want to take over our country? If they're nominal secular, of course not. If they're religious, sure, they want to see America become an Islamic nation. It's like if we are living in other countries and sharing the gospel there, we want to see that nation become, quote, a Christian nation. But here, name for me a country in the world that is a Christian country. Name one. You really can't, because there's no such thing as Christian law that the whole nation has to be under, but you have countries like Iran and Saudi Arabia and others that are Muslim countries, and they live by Islamic law. And before I take a couple more calls, listen to this note from jihadwatch.org. There is no separation between the religious and the political in Islam. Rather, Islam and Sharia law constitute a comprehensive means of ordering society at every level. So in keeping with this, Islamic scholarship divides the world into Dar al-Islam, the House of Islam, that is those nations who have submitted to Allah, and Dar al-Harb, the House of War, that is those who have not submitted. Then as now, Islam's message to the unbelieving world is the same, submit or be conquered. So listen to what Ayatollah Khomeini said. Those who study Islamic holy war will understand why Islam wants to conquer the whole world. All the countries conquered by Islam or to be conquered in the future will be marked for everlasting salvation. So to repeat, Islam does not just look to convert people, it looks to convert countries, and conversion means conquest. 866-34-TRUTH. Philip in Plainsboro, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, I guess I could say good morning to you. This is I just briefly wanted to speak to the guy Robert that just called, but that was his real name. I can't think of.
You're Robert from Massachusetts.
Yeah, if that's his real name. The reason I say that is because I know there's a thing in Islam, I can't think of what it's called, but where Muslims are not only allowed to lie, but they're also allowed to eat pork and all these other things for the sake of pushing the agenda. Everything this guy who claimed to be a Baptist was saying, and particularly he didn't present any facts in the scriptures, was very anti-Semitic and trying to make it seem like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, I've never seen a Jew knock on the door and try to spread Judaism in that way. But the guy kept saying over and over again how it's in the Bible.
I think that the more he talked, the harder it was to take the call seriously in terms of content.
The funny thing is
that Jews, in his view, are trying to take over the world. But Muslims are not. So,
right.
Anyway, maybe he wasn't as composed on radio as he wanted to be.
You say go to Jihad Watch, and I'm like, no, this is such a blatant, stupid lie. I'm listening every day about these things that are being done by that, you know, militant, or I don't know what you call it, jihadist Islamic group, who absolutely want, and they make it perfectly plain and perfectly clear that they want to take over the world. You know, it's not.
Yeah, let me just jump in and say this. I understand that the great majority of Muslims in America are not radical. They're not extremists. They don't want to support suicide bombers or the like. But perhaps radical Islam worldwide is 10 to 20% of Muslims. Let's put a super low number and say 10%. That's 150 million people. That's half the population of America in terms of number. And there are radical Muslims in America. I'm not even pointing to them primarily. I'm simply pointing to the serious, committed Muslims, and for them, Islam is the way, and they want to convert the world to it. But even before converting people to it, they will want to impose their values, their laws. For example, think of a school in America. Just think of this. Think of a school in America that would permit a child to take a break during school hours, right? This is when I pray, sir, you know, Mr. Principal, this is when I pray. And I have a note from my parents, this is when I pray, so I need to be released from school during this time, from class, to go down the hallway to pray. Could you imagine any public school in America, unless you're in some Bible Belt area and the whole school has prayer meetings, can you imagine any public school in America capitulating to that? Even for a split second? Of course not. And I was reading about a school in New Jersey where they're trying to accommodate some of the Muslim students that have to pray at certain times of the day. It is just that kind of thing that's part of their faith. I'm just being realistic about it. It's part of their faith. But here I am in India saying that we have the message of life. I'm here in India. It's a long trip, and it's an expensive trip. And it's challenging in certain ways, but I'm here in India to hold up the hands of those who are on the front lines going into unreached areas with the gospel. I'm here to remind us in America and different nations, we have the message of eternal life. Remember, Islam does not have the message of forgiveness of sins. Remember that. Islam does not have the message of forgiveness of sins. It cannot offer people guaranteed forgiveness of sins so that they know that when they die, they'll be in the presence of God, the presence of Allah. The best hope they have is 50-50, that if they live their whole life according to the Muslim principles, hopefully 50-50, they'll get in. So the message of the extraordinary love of God through Jesus and life in the Spirit and father-son, father-daughter intimacy with God, they don't have that despite their sincerity. We have the better way. Let us not be ashamed of Jesus. I want to make an appeal to you from the heart of India. I did the math right before the show and used very conservative figures for our broadcast and said, you know, if one out of every 100 people listening to us, that's not many, would support us on a monthly basis, would become a torchbearer, would hold our hands up with a monthly gift of at least $25, and we send you a new CD every month. We give you a 15% discount on our online bookstore and free access to our online classes. We've got some more we'll be adding soon. So we seek to bless you every way that we can as you hold our hands up. But if just one in 100, I wonder if that's you I'm speaking to, if just one in every 100 listeners would say, I want to become a monthly torchbearer. I want to stand with you. I want to hold your hands up so you guys don't have to just carry this burden. We would not only have money for every station we're on the air, but be able to expand to more stations and help support our workers around the world even more effectively. I'm challenging you to call and stand with us today, or even a one-time gift as we come to the end of this year. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can go online to AskDrBrown.org and do this, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, Muslims worldwide are unashamed of the Quran. Muslims worldwide are unashamed of their faith in Muhammad and Allah. Muslims worldwide pray openly, boldly, and proclaim the reality of their faith. Let us show them a better way. Let us be all the more unashamed of King Jesus. It is well past midnight here in India, where I'm sitting in my hotel room in Vishakhapatnam, but coming your way live from India today. Stay tuned.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got a question from you. For you, maybe jet lag is starting to hit, and the fact that it's 1:30 in the morning here in India starting to hit. Otherwise, my mind's been pretty clear the first hour. I've got a question for you. Do you know how many gods there are officially in Hinduism? Do you know how many gods there are in Hinduism? Like 50, 100, 1,000? Who could count that many? 100,000? How do you even have that many? Million? Sounds crazy, doesn't it? I'll answer that in a moment. My delight to be with you here live from India. I was traveling yesterday, so I especially prepared the broadcast for you. I hope that you enjoyed listening to it. Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? And now that we're settled in here, I can come your way live. We did it 1 year ago, and we're doing it again this year. And India impacts my life. I come here out of a close relationship with a dear friend that I've labored with side by side for many years. He's been stoned for his faith. Some of his workers that they've sent out have been martyred. I've literally washed the feet of a martyr's widow here, that we laid hands on our husband and sent him out to preach. And a few years later, he was martyred. Just checked on the wives earlier today with the brother we work with, and the wives of these martyred widows are the widows are doing well. They're strong. They're moving forward. The brothers have helped set up businesses for them to support them, but they're staying where they are to reach their people with the gospel. But coming to India, there's a certain reality check. What is it all about? That's why I did the broadcast yesterday, the things you're living for worth Christ dying for. Tomorrow, perhaps one of the most impacting broadcasts you'll ever hear in your life. In fact, the next couple of days should be. Tomorrow we bring you lessons from Treblinka, concentration camp in Poland during the Holocaust. And then Thursday, I want to go back to what happened a year ago as we washed the feet of a martyr's widow. And then I'll take your calls, like always, on Friday. We'll try to do You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers live from India on Friday. But as we're here in this land of actually millions and millions of gods, some say that Hinduism has 3 million gods, some say 33 million, because there's every kind of manifestation and incarnation, and even certain animals looked at as deified. In fact, we were in one city one time, in one high caste village, and when the worship leader said that he used to worship the snake goddess or the snake god, and when he got saved, he quit worshiping that, and now if a snake came in his room, he found a snake, he'd just kill it. He doesn't fear it anymore and doesn't worship it, and a riot almost broke out. The meetings were shut down. They had to carry him off the stage and get him out of there quick before he was attacked, because the village happened to be a very passionate snake god worshiping village. And these are educated people, not just uneducated people. But here in the midst of India, it's much easier for me to be reminded as to what really matters. It's much easier for me to have that eternal focus. So I want to share some perspective with you and put out a question for you. We discussed it the last hour, and we're having some interesting discussion. I decided I'm going to keep the discussion going a little further. Do you think Muslims in America want to take over our country? What do you think? Do you think Muslims in America want to see an Islamic America? Do you think they want to see the name of Muhammad revered? Do you think they want to hear the Quran chanted from mosques all over the major cities of America? Do you think they want Americans living by Islamic dietary laws? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to share some more interesting things from India. Take your calls. Coming your way live from Vishakhapatnam.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, because of my commitment to be on radio on a daily basis, coming your way live, it's my joy. It's a major part of my calling. This broadcast serves as a hub of what we do in our ministry around America, in the nations, and to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Serves as a hub for us of equipping the body, of stirring hearts for revival, of helping to spark moral cultural revolution through the gospel. Because of that, I greatly restrict my travel schedule. I've cut way back from overseas travel. When I go in the States, we coordinate travel so that I can be in a radio studio, a Salem radio studio, an affiliated radio studio, so I can be broadcasting from there as we man our truth booth in Winston-Salem and then broadcast from there across the country and around the world. But I felt it was important to broadcast live from India, so I'm coming your way by phone. So obviously we're crisp and clear, but we're not in a studio coming away by phone. We were not able to locate a studio in Visakhapatnam and Andhra Pradesh at 1 or 2 in the morning that we were able to use for radio that was connected. So this was our next best choice. And that's the time it is now. It's going on 2 in the morning here in India. But I want to give you an illustration, and then we'll get to your calls. And our question that we put on the table, do Muslims in America want to control our country? Do American Muslims want to take over our country? 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. You can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay. We were in India, I guess it was the second trip. This is my 18th trip. It was the second trip. We had a team of about 10 people with us. I just want to give you an illustration that compares perhaps the American Christian way of doing things versus the Indian Christian way of doing things. I'm talking about committed American Christians versus committed Indian Christians. So we were in a city. We preached there, didn't have a breakthrough the first day. Now it's the second day. We're not breaking through. We've only got one more day of meetings there. And I called the team together. We had 10 people with us. And I said, listen, I know everybody's hot. It's long days. We're there, Nancy and I, for about a month, the rest of the team for about 3 weeks. And everybody had been sick one time or another. Some were sick right then. I was doing leaders' meetings in the daytime. The team was going out doing village evangelism in the daytime. And then at night, I was preaching to good-sized crowds at night. And we just weren't breaking through in the meetings. We knew something more had to happen. God really granting repentance to the people and a turn of heart and outpouring of the Spirit. So I said to the team, listen, I know everybody's hot, I know we've been sick, I know it's rough, but can we just do this? Can we just, we'll eat tonight after the meeting, so this is after the second night, we'll eat tonight after the meeting, but then we'll fast 24 hours, and we'll eat after the meeting tomorrow. And I said, if you need to drink during the day, that's fine, but we won't have any food, no breakfast, no lunch during the day, and then we'll break the fast after the meeting. It's just 24 hours. I was very gentle, very pastoral about it. Can we do it? Can we handle it? Everyone, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. Great. I said, okay, good. So then I had to speak to Yesupadam, the director of the ministry here, to let him know not to prepare food for the team, breakfast or lunch. So I tell him, listen, we're just going to fast. We feel we need to break through, and we'll have a meal tonight after the meeting and tomorrow after the meeting, but no food during the day. It's 24 hours. We need to fast. He goes, good idea. And he turns to his team, the worship team and intercessors and other workers that were with him. He goes, good idea. He says, no food till we break through. And they all just nodded. I thought, well, that's quite a difference between Indian Christianity and American Christianity. Here, is it okay? I mean, would you think, well, is it all right if we just, still 24 hours, can we? And maybe I'm talking to someone with a health problem and you feel bad, you can't fast for. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the rest of us. Is it okay? We just make 24 hours. Yeah, we can do that. It's hot here, but we can do it. We're a little sick, but we can do it. Here, Yesupadam turns to his Indian team, and he just announces. He doesn't ask them. He doesn't have a discussion. Is it okay? Well, we can. And we set a time, just 24 hours. He just looks at them and says, no food till we break through. And they just nod. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. I thought, yeah, that is the difference right there in a nutshell. 866-34-TRUTH. And I'm not here for large meetings this year. We've preached to crowds of 40 to 50,000 and done pastors meetings for 7,000 pastors. And I shared about that last hour, but I'm not here for that. I'm here out of the depth of quality of the relationship with the people we work with, out of a lifelong friendship by life or by death to glorify Jesus, even as a Jew and Gentile joined together for the purpose of the gospel. And because the quality of the people that we minister to here and encourage here and send out from here is such that I would joyfully come to this country and pour myself out to be part of this sacred work. And you know, just before we had a meal, I've got a friend, a medical doctor with me, Yesu Potom, just went to pray over the meal, and my friend said, wow, he's anointed. Yes, there's a certain understanding of what it means to follow Jesus that is not just what's in it for me and how I can prosper and succeed. It's a matter of how my life can make an impact, eternal impact on souls so that Jesus will be glorified, whether by life or by death. That's just normal for the folks we work with here, and it is my joy and privilege to do it. 866-34-TRUTH, Garnett in Irvington, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. You're one of my heroes.
Bless you. Thanks for sharing that.
Yes. I think the answer is yes, that they want to take over. And I think what is making it easier for them to do it is that in America, everything that used to be wrong now is right. And they seek the Christians as the enemy, the ones that, you know, stopping them, trying to stop them from the homosexual agendas and this and that. And because of that, their fight is against us. And because the fight is against us, they're ignoring what they're, you know, the Muslims are doing. In Romans, the first chapter, the second chapter, said that because they did not choose to retain the knowledge of God, you know, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. And I think that they're seeing us as the enemy because, you know, light does not like darkness.
Right. Now, question, just to be sure we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
We were asking if Muslims were trying to take over the country. Was that what you were responding to?
Yes, and I said yes, but what's making it easier for them to do it?
Got it,
is the
right,
focus
okay. Let me just say this. Islam, to confirm what you're saying, Garnett, Islam looks at America as a Christian country, looks at Europe as Christian countries, and they think this is what Christianity is. In other words, put on the TV shows, look at all the immorality, look at all the sensuality, look at all the filth. They think that's what Christianity is. They look at Europe, they look at the culture in Europe, and they think that's what Christianity is. And therefore, because they have a strong moral commitment, because whether they're living it or not, Islam has very strong moral laws. They look at Christianity as the enemy, and for other reasons as well. And as America is a place that needs to be reformed by Islam, so it's true on that level that we are making it easier for them to have those perceptions. And the church needs to make the world know and make the Muslim world know what it really means to follow Jesus. Thanks for calling and thanks for the kind words. 866-34-TRUTH. There's no question that if you're a committed Christian, you want to see the gospel spread in every country you are, every city you are. If you're a committed Christian, if you're living in Saudi Arabia, if you're living in Yemen, if you're living here in India, where I am right now, speaking to you live from India, if you just tuned in, you want to see the gospel spread through this Hindu country. Of course, but is there a difference between the way Islam spreads and the way Christianity spreads in terms of, quote, taking over? Jeff in Chelsea, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mike. Mike, you're one of my heroes also. And
bless you, man. Thanks.
Yes. Now I want to give this as a clarion call to the people of India and even the people of America, because there's a lot more believers in India than there are in America. Boston, Massachusetts, I mean, yes, India is pagan in a lot of ways, but Boston is also pagan, too. It's a dead Roman Catholic area where people are hard as a rock. It is one of the, it is the most liberal city in the country, one of the most liberal. And my clarion call is this. Boston is about to be taken over by Islam. It has, in Roxbury, Massachusetts, it has the biggest mosque in the New England area called the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center.
All right, hey, Jeff, tell you what, hang on. We've got a break, but we'll be back very, very quickly. And I want you to share what's happening in Boston, Massachusetts, just in front of your own eyes. All right, stay with us, friends.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So let me put this question to you a different way. My initial question, do American Muslims want to take over our country? As I come your way live from India, Vishakhapatnam. Find Vishakhapatnam on the map of India for me. Here's our question. Do Muslims living in America want to see an Islamic America with prominent mosques dotting the landscape of every major city, with Islamic laws instituted throughout the nation, with the name of Muhammad revered throughout society, with the Quran memorized by children, with American men stopping five times daily to pray to Allah, with American women dressing modestly, with Islamic dietary practices strictly followed, and the whole nation fasting during the daylight hours of Ramadan? Is that what they desire? If so, what's the big deal? I mean, isn't that just like Christianity, which is a missionary religion, and both want to spread our faith around the world? Is there a difference? 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, I've got some big plans about an hour from now. Big plans. I don't know if you guess what they are, but I've got some big plans about 1 hour from now here in India. I'll tell you what they are shortly. Yeah, Joey, you're too sharp there, but not everybody's as sharp as you, Joey, so we'll see if everybody gets it here. All right, to the phones, John in Kennesaw, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, you there?
Yes, I'm there, John. Hello.
Hey, how are you today?
Go ahead.
Okay, my question was, actually, you're really already started touching base on it, is that you were asking if I thought or we thought that the Muslims wanted to take over in America, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and my statement was I would certainly think so based on my religion, which is Christianity. And I'm a new Christian, by the way. I just got baptized 2 Sundays ago, and ever since then, God has been
wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you. He's been pouring himself.
John, just before we get to the larger question, so you've come to faith recently. What did the Lord save you out of? What was your life like before you became a believer?
Well, my fiance and I have been living together for 2 years, and when we first got together, we were talking about getting married, and she brought 3 children into my life, of which they all recognized me as their father, and just recently, about 3 months now, we started going to church and getting into the Word. And at that point in time, you know, it was just kind of dawning on us that we're living in sin and trying to practice Christianity. So we've set a wedding date of March 31st. So we plan to get married, and we're living without sleeping together until then, and going into marriage counseling and things of that nature. But
John, you know, God is really going to bless you and your soon to be wife for this, and honoring Him and doing things that society laughs at, but when you do things the right way before the Lord and take necessary steps, things do change. And if at any point in these next couple of months you're struggling with that arrangement, even if you have to be in physically separate locations for a few weeks, honor the Lord and He'll bless you guys. So, that's great to hear, though, John, that the Lord's at work in your life, and welcome to the family. Yeah, you're absolutely right, sir. In other words, I want to spread my faith, the faith of Jesus, around the world. I want to see like a country like India. I want to see the Indian people turn to Jesus. But do you think there's a difference, perhaps, the way Muslims approach this and the way Christians approach this?
I wish I could elaborate on that. Like I said, I'm just getting into the study of yeah. Christianity, and I haven't really followed any other religion. I wasn't brought up in a household where I was raised in church and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know how they practice their beliefs or
yeah.
Here,
this would be the difference, John. That in through the gospel, you come into a living relationship with God. And then he works in your heart and life, and you begin to follow what's written in the scriptures. Islam has more of an emphasis on bringing people under the Islamic religion. So with that, they would want to impose their customs on the culture. They would want to do that in a way that would bring more conquest than just conversion. But hey, John, bless you. Keep growing in the Lord. And Jeff, man, I apologize. I think I had a jet lag moment there and forgot to come right back to you. So thanks for
That's
being a gentleman
okay,
and hanging on the line there. Joey, come on. Have I done that?
No, Jeff.
I think that's a jet lag moment.
Yeah, it's Jeff, Mike. How's it going?
Andrew, come on, man. I don't do that. I'm just these guys, even
though
I'm here in India, these guys are trying to hassle me back in Winston-Salem. All right, I'm just going to ignore them. And back to you, Jeff. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mike. Now, as far as the clearing call is there's a pastors in India, because I know you're in India, and I know there's pastors in India that are listening to this program, and I know that there's people nationally listening to this program. As I was saying before, which is Boston has the biggest mosque in the New England area, welcomed by Mayor Menino and Deval Patrick. You see, if you study spiritual warfare, when the governor and the mayor both welcomed this mosque in there and gave that area to the Muslims for peanuts, and that's a radical mosque, by the way, they're opening up Boston for demons to come right into the city, along with homosexuality and so forth. Here's my clearing call for pastors and missionaries to come to the Boston area and preach in front of the John Hancock Tower, because Boston will be a Sharia law country, and God showed to me there will be an attack in that area because of these sins done by Muslims.
All right, hey Jeff, yes. let me just ask you one question,
because yes.
we've got another break coming up. Just a quick question for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, what's that?
From that mosque, is there a prayer call that goes out from there?
I haven't been there, but from what I understand, yes, but I can't answer that honestly because I haven't been there, but I think so, but I'm not sure. I can't
yeah, because ultimately, where mosques are set up, as much as possible, they will have several times during the day the Islamic call for prayer.
Yeah, you're right.
And chantings from the Quran. So I remember being in Luton, England, in 1987.
Wow.
Preaching there the first time in England, and I hear this chant, you know, from the mosque, the prayer call. And I thought, what in the world? And they said, yeah, churches were trying to get property there, and the government didn't sell them the property. And then a mosque asked for the property, and they were able to get it. But it would be like in the old days, maybe church bells ringing, something like that on a Sunday.
Yeah, but a call is even worse. I mean.
Oh, no, the call is piercing, loud, and multiple
yes.
times a day. And so that's the point. In other words, there's a way where Islam asserts itself more into the public life. And what's striking now is that if you go to England, that the number one boy's name in England as of 2010, Jack, was passed, and the name is now Muhammad. Certainly God wants to do great things in the New England area, where there was a great awakening over 250 years ago. So anyone heeding the call, feeling the burden to join Jeff in praying and believing God for great things in Boston, let's do it. And to the pastors and leaders there, hey, we're standing with you together to see that city shaken with the gospel. All right, we come back. I want to tell you about an interesting India tech support thing and tell you my big plans for right after the show today on the Line of Fire Live from India.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we should have added to that intro, and coming your way live from India. Okay, here's the setup. I'm sitting in my hotel room. I'm talking to you by way of telephone. Our studio in Winston-Salem connected to us by telephone here. It is now just past 2 a.m. in Visakhapatnam, India. Instead of my normal clock to follow the time, I have my atomic watch, which runs to the second. And there, you get one for like $30 now, so I don't think we're spending all our money on atomic watches. I'm looking at my computer screen on the laptop, which shows me who is on the phone waiting to talk to me live from India. What do you think of that? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I put forth a discussion question today. I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, especially since Pam Geller wrote a report at AmericanThinker.com around the time of Thanksgiving, saying that the turkey that you're eating for Thanksgiving, if it's a butterball turkey, was probably slaughtered according to ritual Islamic law, which would mean, presumably, it was slaughtered in Allah's name. What in the world? So my question, do American Muslims want to take over our country? I'm talking about America. Even though I'm in India, I'm an American. Do American Muslims want to take over our country? Okay, just a couple of quick things, India-related, then we'll get to your calls. I have an article on this on townhall.com, just went up, I don't know, an hour or something ago. Do American Muslims want to take over our country? So read it and recommend it to your friends. Have you ever called tech support and you end up talking to someone in India? I remember when I was first calling tech support, or actually it was a billing thing. I was trying to get something paid online, whatever, it was like Home Depot. I'm like, why? Why is the person an Indian? I wonder why they have so many Indians working for them there at Home Depot. Then I realized, it's rooted to India, and it works out for the companies because the calls can be so inexpensive now because the wages are less to pay someone in India versus someone in America or other parts of the world as well, cheaper than paying someone in America. They have all their tech support there and so on, and you're used to it. If you get someone that's in America, like, oh, you're in America. Where are you in America, man? I'm used to talking to someone in India. Well, I was checking out things, getting on my computer before the show, trying to catch up on some emails and different things, and the computer, the internet connection just wasn't working. Very, very slow or not at all. So I talked to tech support in India. Yeah, I am in India, and it was in the hotel. And they got right on it because they know their tech stuff, and they got the thing up and running, and it is speeding by perfectly. So tech support in India because I am in India. But listen, I've got some big plans after the broadcast, big plans. Sleep, because it'll be 2:30 in the morning when I finish, then wind down a little, talk to the Lord, tune out, turn in, and then get ready for the pastor's conference starting a few hours later in the morning. So please pray that the Lord would move. I mentioned in the first hour earlier today that I'm not here for quantity, but for quality. There's a quality relationship I have with the leaders here, with the team here, that goes back years, that's very, very deep. And we're in this for life, for the gospel. There's the quality of the work going forth. Well, what do you say when you're around little children, 5 years old, 7 years old, who pray for the lost with tears? What do you say when you see that? What do you say of a disciplined lifestyle that they joyfully get up at 4:30 in the morning and spend the first hour with the Lord in the Word and prayer, and they're 3, 4, 5 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, and they just want to make their lives count for the gospel? What do you say when you look at that? It's a strong reality check for us being here in India as Americans. All right, back with your calls. Do American Muslims want to take over our country?
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, check this out. After we got a call from Boston earlier about a new mosque in Roxbury, Massachusetts, check out this quote here from Bilal Kalim of the Muslim American Society. I see this as continuing the historic role that Boston has played in the cultural and religious history of America. This is where the pilgrims landed and where a lot of the country's first churches are. We really see Muslim history in America having one of its key moments here. Fascinating. 866-348-7884. Do American Muslims want to take over our country? I'm not talking about secular Muslims. I'm not talking about nominal Muslims who hardly practice their own faith, who have perhaps liberal ideas about the Quran, who believe that there are many different valid paths to God outside of Islam. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about religious committed Muslims, Muslims in America who are at least as committed to their faith as evangelical Christians are committed to theirs. That's what I'm talking about. Do they want to take over America? Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, coming your way live from India. I don't know if I just said that. I don't think I did, but you get a little jet lagged. You never quite know. Number to call, 866-348-7884, and online, Ask Dr. Brown, our Facebook page. Tomorrow, lessons from Treblinka, concentration camp in Poland during the Holocaust, where the Jews revolted. And the camp was ultimately burned down. Extraordinary story. I want to share some principles with you from Treblinka tomorrow. Thursday, I want to take you back to what happened 1 year ago, washing the feet of a martyr's widow, one of the most intense, moving experiences of my life. I want to take you back 1 year ago when that happened. And then Friday, God willing, we'll do our normal. You've got questions. We've got answers here from India. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Jerry in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Hey, I'm doing well. A little jet lagged, a little tired, but great otherwise.
Great. I'd like just to make a comment. I don't believe that there are any American Muslims. I believe that there are Muslims that live in America, and I do agree that the Islam is trying to take over America, to take it into a different level as far as their religious beliefs as far as Sharia law. Look at the examples with the Twin Towers. When they fell, all of a sudden now, years later, they want to build a mosque right next to that horrific activity that happened. And it's just a sign that whenever, you check your history, I know you know it better than I do, that anytime Islam takes over any part of an area, the first thing they want to do is to build one of their mosques there to show a sign of dominance. And it's almost in a sense of, using the restroom in that particular area which they conquered. Also, when you check your history in schools, there are now our laws are being changed now where they're allowing Muslims to take time out of their day to pray, and also they're building rooms just for Muslims to be able to pray. So I do believe
that... Yeah, Jerry, let me just jump in. In this article that was just posted on Town Hall, .com, do American Muslims want to take over our country? I made a comment that's very similar to what you just said, which is this, that even when Muslims are in the great minority, they have a way of exerting a disproportionate influence and making disproportionate demands. That's why here in America, butterball turkeys are being slaughtered in conformity with Islamic law, according to Pamela Geller, which presumably means they were slaughtered in Allah's name. And that's why in England, Muhammad in 2010 became the most popular boy's name in England, surpassing Jack. Or in Oslo in Norway, Amsterdam in Holland, Muhammad is now the number one boy's name in those countries. And what you just mentioned about schools with prayer, can you imagine a school in America, a public school in America, that's what we're talking about, secular school, making exceptions for Christian kids? Well, we'll be late to homeroom because we have prayer meeting. Or we need to be exempted from this class for 15 minutes because that's our set time of prayer. I mean, we don't have those set times of prayer, but I was reading about a case in New Jersey where a father raised complaints because his Muslim kids were not allowed to step out of class and pray, and they're going to have a special room for them. So it's that disproportionate influence and demands that are made, because on a certain level, we want to spread our faith. Muslims want to spread their faith, but Islam also believes in taking over, and conversion means conquest as well.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Brown, you made a statement earlier about what the church is doing. I am a conservative Christian, and I'm afraid to say it, but it's the truth that the church has become very passive. We have been called to be salt and light, and we have not done our job, and that is why the land is being taken over. We've let the gates down and let the enemy in, because the church has definitely been silent. We're preaching about prosperity. We're preaching how to make a dollar out of 15 cents, and we're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're worried about offending instead of, telling it like it is. You know, we're becoming a PC nation, and God is going to hold our leaders, are accountable for what we've done. We've allowed the fox into the hen house, and now we want to get mad at the fox because he's doing his job. Well, as an owner, we should have protected the hens and kept the fox out of the hen house.
Yeah, especially when we have so many tens of millions of American Christians, especially when we have perhaps a third of the population claims to be evangelical, born-again, conservative Christian, and we have Christians not just behind the pulpits, but in government, in business, in education, mm-hmm. in media. And yet somehow we've separated our faith from life, or even more commonly, we've compromised it to just kind of baptize Jesus into the culture. You know, America is all about bigger and better. So now through the gospel, we're going to have a bigger and better life, as opposed to through the gospel, we die to our old way of life, and now we live to do the will of God. And again, that's the reason that I come over to India every year. I've got a deep commitment to the brothers and sisters here. We dearly love each other. We serve God together, and they stand with me back in the States. But when you're out in the tribal region, prosperity for you is that you don't die of sickness. Prosperity is that the water you drink is not going to kill you. But you're only there for one reason. It's to reach people with the gospel. And yet somehow in America, Jesus is my way to a more fulfilling, successful life because it's all about me. And you think, what if all that stuff was taken away, all the distractions were taken away, what would we be living for? So that's a message through this week, through the broadcast yesterday and the rest of the week. I'm really trying to get across, and I feel coming from India doing it gives me even more force in doing so. But, Jerry, thanks for weighing in eloquently and clearly. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, sir. You have a good day.
Yeah, God bless you. You know, when Jerry said what he said, I almost went to pull up a quote. It's a bit long, so I don't have it memorized. I almost went to pull it up, and I realized, no, it fits tomorrow. I'm going to share it tomorrow. But it's a quote from Charles Finney about who's to blame for things taking place in the nation when the nation goes bad. 866-34-TRUTH. Jason in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well here in India. Thank you.
Very good. Which part of India are you now?
I can hear your accent, sir. I am in Vishakhapatnam in Andhra Pradesh.
Andhra Pradesh. Okay. I'm from south part of India.
Yes.
The question is, will this Muslim take over America? The question, real question is when? That's the way I feel it. And the way I see some of the movement, like in the school systems and the things like the homosexual activities, I believe they are the one, funding or supporting these sort of movement. By doing
so, you believe that Muslims are funding immoral organizations or organizations that stand for homosexuality?
At least supporting. The reason is, among the Christians, the population is going down. On the other hand, they are multiplying it. So
yeah,
they are populating,
France,
they will be the second, the populated country.
Yes, I understand. The one thing I would say, though, sir, is that regardless of how people live, Islamic law is very strong against sexual immorality, against drunkenness, against worldly entertainment, those kind of things. I'm not saying there's not hypocrisy and that people aren't doing those things in Muslim countries, but they would very very strongly oppose things like homosexuality, at least legally. The fact is, though, Jason, and this is the important point, and it's so important for our listeners to understand this, Muslims look at America as a Christian country and think this is what Christianity is. It is a compromised, lukewarm religion, one that tolerates all kinds of sin, because that's what they see in America. We say, no, the church is very different than the world. The question is, how different are we? How different are we? How much are we being conformed to the image of Jesus? Hey, look, I'm here in India with folks who are willing to die for Jesus. Can I ask you a question in America? Are you willing to live for Jesus? We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here again and coming your way live from India, Vishakhapatnam, Andhra Pradesh, which is the East Coast in the Bay of Bengal. We've done the baptism in the Bay of Bengal, in the waves there, in the south part of India. The ministry we work with, Love and Care Ministries, they've planted over 1,000 churches in unreached tribal regions and done a lot of extraordinary work, so we're here for our annual visit. This is the only overseas travel I've done this year. In the past, I've taken 8-9 trips overseas in a year, plus all of our American ministry, but because of the priority of radio, we have cut way back on that and are seeking to serve America and the nations through radio more than ever and through our missionaries around the world. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got something very important I want to share with you in a moment on a broader level, but just a few more comments on this question of American Muslims. Do they want to take over our country? Again, if we're talking about the secular nominal ones who don't believe that Islam is the only way or the best way or the way, no, they wouldn't be thinking about that any more than nominal Christians are going on the mission field. But here's the reality. There's a post from Peter Yeoman, a leader in Wales, a dear friend of ours, that we've worked with in Wales with his son Andrew. He posted this on my Facebook page. Do Muslims want to take over America? It's an absolute yes, he said. It has been said by many Muslims in the UK that they will not be happy until the Islamic flag is hanging above Downing Street. That would be the same as saying the Islamic flag hanging over the Capitol in D.C. Currently, there are more mosques in the UK than in the whole of the USA. Wow. Why? Let me put this in a nutshell. Christianity, the true gospel faith, the true messianic faith, wants to win the world. Islamic faith wants to conquer the world. And there's quite a difference. To quote Ayatollah Khomeini again, those who study Islamic holy war will understand why Islam wants to conquer the whole world. All the countries conquered by Islam or to be conquered in the future will be marked for everlasting salvation. So this is helping these countries come into Allah's everlasting kingdom. As far as advancing by the sword, so this is radical Muslims, maybe 10%, maybe 15, 20% of Muslims worldwide. But that's a massive number. That's between 150 and 300 million people. Khomeini stated this, those who know nothing of Islam pretend that Islam counsels against war. Those who say this are witless. Islam says, kill all the unbelievers just as they would kill you all. Islam says, kill in the service of Allah those who may want to kill you. Islam says, whatever good there is exists thanks to the sword and the shadow of the sword. People cannot be made obedient except with the sword. There are hundreds of other psalms from the Quran and hadiths, sayings and acts of Muhammad, urging Muslims to value war and to fight. Does all that mean that Islam is the religion that prevents men from waging war? I spit upon those foolish souls who make such a claim. That was Khomeini. So the stark reality is that Muslims worldwide are working to turn America into an Islamic nation, whether by proselytism, societal influence, ideological dominance, legal imposition, or in some cases, even the sword. That includes plenty of Muslims living in our country today. Let me grab one more call. Kevin in Jamestown, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
That's good. I well, you know, You kind of touched on some of the things I was going to hit on, so so I guess I really don't have anything to say, but I do think they are trying to take over. I mean, just like as Christians, we want to evangelize the world, they want to, you know, get people to submit to Allah, because that's the very nature of Islam, being submission, you know, so
that's what they're trying to do. Yeah, and submission, you know, Islam, a lot of people think, well, you know, salam, that's like shalom, and it's the religion of peace. Islam, salam, the root there, it means submission. It's submission to Allah, which means submission to Allah and to his laws as well. So it's different than the gospel spreading across the world. In fact, Kevin, if you think of it, you can name Muslim countries around the world, but you can't name Christian countries around the world because they don't have a system of universal law that everyone has to submit to. And in Islam, rather than saying religion is part of life. In Islam, they say life is part of religion. But hey, thanks for calling. Sorry, I stole your thunder there, but I appreciate the call. Read the article if you'd like more insight on this. Townhall.com. Do American Muslims want to take over our country? And I just want to share with you from my heart for a moment. We're using this entire week broadcasting from India, preparing special broadcasts from you here. It's about to be 2:30 in the morning, and 11 tomorrow morning we'll start our pastor's conference. So, you know, a few hours from now, a little over 8 hours from now. This is not some massive sacrifice, okay? I don't mean that. But I'm here with you because it is really, really important to me to do whatever I can to serve the Lord and serve you and help spark a fire in your heart for God. And help spark something that will help stir you to move beyond the American norm, where we're so often compromised and lukewarm and lackadaisical in our faith. Or even if we're serious, so many of us are just bound up by worldly things and worldly interests. How do we break free? I want to help you to do that. It's why we're on the air. And I believe with all my heart, friends, that there is a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution that is coming to America, an awakening in the church that's going to spill over and touch the world. I believe it with all my heart. So I'm making an appeal to you if this broadcast means something to you. I'm appealing to you from India. If this broadcast means something to you, would you pick up the phone and call this number, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. You know how your life can make a difference in a very small way? If in each major city where we're on the air across America, if we just had 100 of each of you, 100 of you, it's not a lot of people when you realize the scope of those we speak to in each city, standing with us on a monthly basis as a torchbearer, contributing at least $25 a month, we would not only pay every radio bill, but we would expand into other areas and expand our Jewish outreach work, and expand our missions outreach around the world, and expand our work to spark revival fire in America. If we had 100 new supporters in each city join us, here's a number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Yes, I'll send you a free copy of my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, signed joyfully. And for your contribution of any size, if you can't support us on a monthly basis, or if you'd like to give a year-end tax-deductible gift, my gift to you, my thank you, a signed copy of my Revolution book. But stand with us. Together we're making a difference. We're on the front lines. I'm in India because I'm serious about the gospel. I'm on the radio with you because I'm serious about the gospel. I believe you're serious too. 1-800-278-9978. Together, friends, we can make a difference that'll be felt across America, in the nations, among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Thank you in advance for your faithfulness. Special broadcast tomorrow, lessons from Treblinka, concentration camp in Poland. You don't want to miss it. My bottom line, friends, we have been given an extraordinary gift, a priceless gift, paid for by the blood of Jesus, the Son of God. And yet so many in the world don't even know about this gift, even in our own backyard. Let us raise our voices, stand strong, and make Jesus known.